Isaiah chapter 40. I'll begin reading in verse 28. The Bible says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, this morning I pray that you would help all of us to be more like you. We thank you so much for your patience with each one of us, and God, for the strength that you will give to us if we will but ask. Father, I pray now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts as we seek to study your word. We do not take lightly the privilege that we have of being in your house this morning. And Father, I do not take lightly the responsibility of faithfully declaring the whole counsel of God. So I pray, Lord, that as you speak to our hearts, that we will leave here more with one accord than when we came, for having spent this time in your house. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Isaiah the prophet was given a very difficult task. He was to warn the people of the impending judgment of the Lord, which resulted in their capture by the Assyrians in 722 BC. As you might imagine, the people were not real excited at his message. But during his 60-year ministry, he also had the divine responsibility of putting the children of Israel in mind of their wonderful God, who had not forgotten them and who would hear their prayer when they repented and turned back to him. Our text this morning is an interesting one because it is written during the time that the children of Israel are in captivity. They are hearing this message when things were rather bleak, undoubtedly when their human strength was worn to a frazzle, when God seemed far away. The reality is, of course, that God had never left them and never stopped loving them. He simply wanted them to learn to have a greater dependence upon him. So as you and I listen to the message of Isaiah today, we too can find great comfort in knowing that we serve an untiring God. You know, it's interesting when we think about the responsibilities that we have on a daily basis, how easy it is for any of us to become tired. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I happened to get sick and I thought I was feeling pretty well. I thought I was pretty much caught up on my sleep stayed home because I wasn't feeling well and had slept fine the days before. And that afternoon, got home around noon, slept all afternoon, stayed awake to listen to the midweek service on the phone, and then went to bed that night, slept all night, didn't have any trouble having slept all afternoon, got up the next morning took a couple of pills and some water and slept most of the day. And I thought, certainly tonight when I go to bed, I'm not going to be able to sleep, but had no problem sleeping the whole night long. Got up on Friday a week ago and was feeling a little bit better. But you know, our frail bodies can get tired. Our frail bodies can get worn down. And our frail bodies also can even faint from time to time. This past week at the ODAX competition, my brother Kid was watching one of the dramatic groups from another one of the high schools, and he said he hadn't seen the group before and was eager to see the drama that they were doing. And as they were presenting that, he mentioned that one of the girls who had one of the lead parts started kind of talking a little bit like this. And he thought, wow, she's really getting into this role. Look at how dramatic she is. And he said her eyes kept going around, looking around the room. And sure enough, as you might imagine, it was not a part of the drama. And she fainted right there in front of everybody due to the heat and the nerves and the exhaustion and everything that was taking place in that competition. But I ask you this morning, how many of you are tired spiritually? You see, the same thing can happen to us spiritually. We think of everything that God desires of one of us. He wants us to be faithful day in, day out, reading our Bibles. He wants us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which means He wants us to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible study fellowship. He wants us on a daily basis to fight the devil, to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. He wants us every single day of our lives to draw closer to Him and farther from the world. He wants us to submit ourselves to God, to resist the devil so that the devil will flee from us. And if you stop and think about everything that God wants us to do in and of ourselves, it can be very tiring. But there's a wonderful promise given to us in our passage this morning. And this promise is that our God, since before this world was ever created, has not gotten tired. He's not tired today, and He won't be tired tomorrow. You know, we think about everything that we do and how can I keep on going on and how can I keep fighting this flesh and fighting the devil and how can I be the right kind of husband God wants me to be and how can I seek to be an obedient child and how can I be a submissive wife and how can I be honest? You can do it if you lean on the Lord. And that's what Isaiah is trying to help these children of Israel to understand. I mean, here they were. They were in captivity. That was not an ideal picture. They were not enjoying all of the freedoms that they had had in the past of going freely to the temple to worship the Lord. They were not able to control their own routine. They could not decide in and of their own volition what they were going to do each day, how they were going to spend their time, what activities they were going to engage in. All of this was dictated to them by the Assyrians. All of this was dictated to them by somebody outside of themselves. And undoubtedly, during that process, they had become weary. Now, of course, we all realize that what got them into that process in the very beginning was their own willful rebellion and turning against God. And so they were reaping the consequences of their own sinful actions. And that's why God sent them to this captivity, so that they would have a wake-up call and realize, hey, you're not going down the right path. But here they are, day in and day out, for years in captivity. And Isaiah comes and helps them to get their thoughts back where they ought to be. Helps them to come back and to realize, yes, children of Israel, you can continue forward. Yes, it doesn't matter that you're in captivity. It doesn't matter that you're not in control of your schedule. You can find the strength to keep on keeping on. No, in this day and age in which we live, so many people are trying to paint rosy pictures and are trying to tell you, you can find it in yourself. And if you'll just look deep enough, everything's going to be all right. You won't have any problems. Well, unfortunately, they must either live on a different planet or they don't have red blood in their veins. Because if I look deep inside of myself, it's got a whole lot of problems. And I'd just soon not look at all those problems. And if I had to try and do everything on my own strength day in and day out, I don't mind telling you, I would not make it very far. But when we think of our God, which is what Isaiah wants them to do, before He tells them, you can have the strength renewed, before He does all of that, He says, have you forgotten who your God is? He says, hast thou not known? We think of knowing here. It's actually talking about observation. It's referring back to the experiential knowledge, that which they had already encountered, that which they could look back upon, that which they could remember, bring to mind. Oh, yes. I can look back and think about how God brought us across the Red Sea. I can remember how God brought us out of Egypt. I can remember how God gave us the victory as we followed Joshua's leadership. I can look back to all of the judges that God used to help us to realize that we do have a prayer-answering God. And that is the same God, even though they were in captivity, that they were serving. It's just they had forgotten about what they really knew because of misplaced attention. And seeking to focus on everything that was happening to them as opposed to everything that their God was doing and what He was seeking to control. But then he also says, not only have you not known, but haven't you heard? And this refers to all of the tradition and the teaching that was passed down from generation to generation. No, it is a wonderful thing as a child of God today to realize that even when we get tired, if I can stop and think about my God, if anybody has been saved any length of time at all, you can look back in your life and remember things that God has done for you, blessings that He's poured out on your life, times when He's given you the strength when you just thought you could not take one more spiritual step. But also, it's equally wonderful that if you have been obedient to the Lord and you have been in a Bible preaching church, that you can also look back and you can recall the teaching that you have heard in a Bible study class, the teaching that you've heard in a church service, the preaching that you have heard from the pulpit. And think back, wait a minute. I know that the promises that God made for the children of Israel in the Old Testament are just as applicable to me today regarding the nature of my God, because my God does not change. So yes, I have known. Yes, praise God, I have heard. And what is it that I have heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. You see, this is where Isaiah is trying to help them again to remember their small window of time in which they were living was just a dot on the master canvas of all of the history of mankind. And sometimes we may forget about the fact that God knows the beginning from the end. God knows everything that you and I need. God is ultimately aware of every single request that we make known unto Him. And the thing that blows my mind, you know, when you see a mom who has a number of children, this week, Becky went out to lunch with one of the ladies in the church and has got three young children right now. And she came home and she said, Troy, she said, oh, she said, my heart goes out to her. She said, I remember what it was like when all of our kids were young and it was this big, major undertaking just to go to the grocery store and you have to get them all buckled in and you have to get each one in the right place and you've got to get them all to at least attempt to calm down and quiet down and make sure you've got the snacks and you've got the diapers and you've got all this other paraphernalia. And then by the time you put your key in the ignition, you just soon not go because you're all worn out. But she said, man, she said, I'm just so glad our kids are a little bit older now. I don't have to deal with all of that like I used to not so long ago. And you think about a mom and how tiring it can be and all of the responsibilities that she has and seeking to take care of her children. And of course, then you hear of somebody who's got twice as many as kids as you have. And you think, how in the world do they do it? If I can't keep up with my own kids, I can't imagine having twice as many. And then you look back a generation or two and you realize how oftentimes it was common for families to have 8, 10, 12 or more children. You think, there's no way I could have ever done that. Now, if you would multiply that by millions and millions exponentially, you would have just an ounce of an idea of what it is like for our great everlasting God to be aware of all of our needs. Amen. And Isaiah says that God, the everlasting God, the one who has created this entire world, fainteth not. You know, from a human standpoint, I'm sure all of us can think of times when your children have come to you and they've asked you something. If you were to count it, it would really come very close to truly being 49 times. And finally, you've reached your limits and you've said, OK, I've had enough. I don't want to hear it again. Go outside and play. Have you ever thought about the fact how often you and I go back to God and say the same thing over and over and over and over again? And that same all-powerful God has never for 1 minute, let alone 1 second, gotten tired of hearing your requests. He doesn't faint.
His resources are unlimited.
He never tires of our cries, nor of our weaknesses, nor of our inconsistencies, but he is always ready to forgive and to fortify us as we go back to him. But he says that for you and for me to try and figure God out is really a futile task. It's interesting how many people try to come up with rational explanations, but the Bible says, who hath known the mind of the Lord? You are wasting your time if you really think you're going to figure things out. That's not what God desires, because we're never going to fully understand him. We are never going to fully comprehend who he is. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. Isaiah has said, there is no searching of his understanding. Job 11 and in verse 7, the Bible says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. It is sad to hear of those who refuse to believe in God. And what it boils down to is their unwillingness to take a step of faith. And how quick we are to say, well, I just don't have faith. But really, we do exercise faith in so many other areas of our life. And we're really hypocrites when we try and say, I don't have faith. But rather, it is a decision of the will to not exercise that faith. And to not acknowledge that, yes, God is out there. But too many Christians get all mired in trying to spend all of their time and attention on studying God deeper and deeper and deeper, to the point that they're no longer serving God. And so what he's trying to help them to realize here is, think about the fact of who your God is. And once you realize, yes, I've heard about him. Yes, I know of him. Yes, that is my God. Then quit trying to somehow come up with every minutia of detail of his nature. Take the fact that your God does not faint, and now live that out in your daily living. That's what God desires from all of us. That's how we can please him. That's how we can accomplish his will in our lives. We think about the fact that God cannot err. He's not going to make a mistake. He's never faint or weary with having the countless wants of his people ever before him to attend to. So we think of God's desires for us. And of course, the reason is, as we understand who he is, then we can have a greater appreciation for the strength that he offers to all who will ask of him. But sometimes we don't have that strength because we haven't asked him. He says here, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Now, when we try and do things of our own strength, when we try and do things of our own might, when we try and do things in our own powers, every single time we are doing something that will reap zero eternal benefits on our behalf. Now, that does not mean that there will not be other implications or other positive results. You see, you can get up and teach a Sunday school class in the flesh. You can get up and sing a song in your own strength. And God can take the message and use it, but you have lost the reward, and you will not stand before God and be able to hear him say, well done, for having taught or sung or whatever else the activity may have been that you attempted to accomplish in your own strength. But there's a solution that is given to all of us here. He says, first of all, he says, even the youths are going to be faint and weary. The young men are going to fall. Now, when you read that on the surface, it looks like he's repeating himself and saying the youths and then also the young men. But actually, the word young men, youth, is what we would think of in terms of the typical youth that would be out there. But the word young men used there denotes properly those who are chosen or selected. And it's referring to those that would be selected for specific activity, or those who would be chosen perhaps to go into war or to engage themselves on the battlefield. Those that were the best of the best. Those the ones that were picked out from amongst the rest. And he said, even the selected ones, even the chosen ones are going to become fatigued. They're going to wear out. However, there is a solution for every single child of God found in this verse. He says what he wants for you and for me to do is to wait on him. Now, you know what so many times we want to do is we say, okay, well, I tell you what, I will go ahead and I will wait for the next 5 minutes, God. And if you don't mind, go ahead and answer this prayer. And then after 5 minutes from now, I can get on and get about my day, because, you know, Lord, I have so much to accomplish today and so many things that are yet before me. But that's not what he's talking about. You see, waiting is a continual activity. The psalmist says in Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. All the day. Oh, but what we have to realize is how rewarding it is if we will truly wait on him. But what we oftentimes want to do is we say, well, God, I've waited long enough. And of course, when we talk that way, what we're really trying to imply is, Lord, you don't understand my situation. God, you don't know my need. Otherwise, you would have already answered this. Otherwise, you would have already given me this. Otherwise, you would have already solved this problem. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here right now. And God is just saying, wait. Slow down. The Life Application Bible makes an interesting comment regarding waiting. It says, waiting upon the Lord is expecting his promised strength to help us rise above life's distractions and difficulties. Listening to God helps us be prepared for when he speaks to us, be patient when he asks us to wait, and expect him to fulfill the promises found in his word. You see, he tells us here at the end that we are going to have the strength that we need. We are going to be able to accomplish all that God wants for us to do. But it's all predicated upon your and my waiting on the Lord. The psalmist writes in Psalm 25:3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. You see, waiting is a necessary exercise. Waiting on the Lord is a necessary exercise in the spiritual life. And who knows us better than God? As I wait, it prevents me from getting ahead of the Lord and therefore out of his will. Amen. Last night, Becky and I were out at a restaurant celebrating her birthday, and it was real cute because there was a little girl who got up and I guess needed to go to the restroom or something, and so her mom was taking her and was trying to keep up with her and trying to hold on to her, and she came, and then she came back and the girl immediately darted one direction and went the wrong way, and so the mom had to go after her and grabbed her by the shoulders and brought her back and said, no, this is the way we get back to our table. But you know how many times we do that as Christians with our God? Say, so, well, okay, you know, I've got this strength now, Lord. I've received this, and so I'm ready to go and have at it. And God says, hold on. Let me show you where I want you to go. Let me show you what I want you to do. Let me show you. If you'll just wait, I have something far better for you, far greater. You see, waiting on the Lord will prove my dependence on him. Because as I wait, I am acknowledging I cannot do this on my own.
I'm saying, Lord, yes, I've got strength, but I know that the strength of mine is going to fail me.
Think of the song, stand up for Jesus. I always remember that phrase, the arm of flesh will fail thee. Ye dare not trust your own.
See, it doesn't mean that we have zero strength. It's that we don't have the right kind of strength and the right measure of strength to fully accomplish God's will unless we wait on Him and allow Him to give us His strength. And of course, waiting also promotes greater spiritual growth. And I'm not forced into choosing a cheap substitute for the power of God. I think sometimes when it comes to our personal lives and our personal walk with God, it's very easy for us not to want to really dig and take time for God to speak to us in His Word. Really wait on Him. And go through the Scriptures and really allow God to speak to us as never before. You see, this is all you need. It's right here. But it takes time to be all that God wants you to be. It takes time for us to get out of our hearts all of those works of the flesh, so that the fruit of the Spirit can in turn be manifest in our lives. But are we willing to wait on God? You know how wonderful it is when we truly wait on Him and then we realize all that He had planned for us by learning to lean on Him. And not only will I not be forced into choosing a cheap substitute, but I'm not foolishly floundering in my spiritual walk because God will give me exactly what I need. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, the psalmist writes in Psalm 27 and in verse 14. You see, as I wait on God, I can find the strength that I need. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, what we have to be careful and guard against is this matter of spiritually looking back at our past victories and thinking that from them we can automatically continue forward in a victorious manner today. But keep in mind, Paul reminds us that dying to self is a daily activity. He reminds us that we are to be crucified with Christ. It's not supposed to be my will going forward, but it's to be God's will. And what was God's will for my life yesterday may not be God's will for my life today. But am I willing to wait on Him? Am I willing to allow Him to lead? Am I truly desirous of having my strength renewed? If I will wait on Him, oh, God has wonderful riches prepared for me by learning to do things according to His plan. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You see, in order for us to serve the Lord with one accord, it requires that we have God's strength to accomplish His will. It doesn't require you to have more strength or me to have more strength of our own, but it requires us to have a greater dependence on God. And as we have a greater dependence on the Lord, then God will bless us in ways that we have not yet imagined. Paul, of course, had to learn this. As he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So really, when we find ourselves tired spiritually, at the point of fainting, we can use that as something to be thankful for, because now it forces us to say, God, I cannot do another thing without Your strength. Lord, I cannot go forward one more day without having your power on my life. Whenever I think of the power of God, I'm always careful to remind myself that I need God's power just as much on Monday as I need His power on Sunday. That I need God's power just as much when I read my Bible as when I am out playing with my children. That the power of God is what I need every moment of every day. It's not confined to what I do within the four walls that we define as church. But it's everywhere I go. So when we talk about being strong, we talk about leading victorious Christian lives for God's honor and God's glory. That's what I do inside my home just as much as outside of my home. That's what I do with my wife. That's what I do with my children just as much as I do with unsaved neighbors, friends, family members, co-workers. It's learning to say, God, if I want to be what you want me to be, God, I have to wait. And please, Lord, help me to wait on you. And of course, as we have the strength, then we will find ourselves not only running and not be weary, not being weary, but also walking and not fainting. You know, when we think about waiting on the Lord, a lot of times we don't like the inactivity. But waiting on the Lord doesn't mean I'm not doing anything. It simply means I am allowing God to show me through His Word, through my worship, through my walk with Him, what His will is for my life. And as I wait on God and God reveals that to me, then I can have the extra strength to get up and to run for Him. And to walk day in and day out and never tire of doing what God wants me to do. This morning I ask you, are you weary spiritually? You find your well getting a little dry? You find yourself at the end of your spiritual rope, wondering how you're going to get through this week? It's all found in waiting on God. Amen. And coming to Him and saying, Lord, I humbly admit I'm tired. God, I feel like I'm about to faint spiritually. All these pressures at home, the office, perhaps your health. But God, I know you're still on the throne. God, I'm so grateful that even with all of the economic stress that's happening in our country and around the world, I am so glad you are not tired. Because, Lord, if there was ever an excuse or a reason for you to faint, you've got it right now. But, Lord, you haven't fainted. God, you haven't tired. And, God, if you don't mind, that's what I need. I need more of your strength. Lord, I need more of your power in my life. God, if I'm going to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of father, the right kind of servant of the Lord this week, I really need more of your power. God, I want to make one thing clear. I am going to wait on you. I'm not going to make a decision without being fully convinced it is the perfect will of God for my life. And as we wait on Him, then we can see His blessings poured out upon us. Psalmist writes in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, this Christian life, it's not something that we just have to get through, but it's something in which we can thrive. It's something in which we can thoroughly enjoy if we do it in God's strength and not our own. Maybe this last week you can look back at some times in your life where you fell spiritually. I can tell you right now, if you have fallen, it's because you've been trying to do it on your own strength. That's where God says, if you'll come back to Him, have that contrite heart, the broken spirit, God will be able to use you. then God will be able to give you His power and His strength to keep on keeping on when you don't think you can. And the wonderful thing about our God today is He desires for every single one of you here this morning to have His strength. He wants for every single one of you this morning to be able to get up and run for the Lord without getting tired. But what He wants you to do is to wait on Him. Are you willing to wait on Him? Are you willing to delay what may seem like would be a convenient decision to follow truly the consecrated will of God, the perfect will of the Lord? As we anticipate Jesus Christ's soon return, it's absolutely essential for every single one of us to make sure that we're depending on an untiring God. He wants to give you strength today. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you into the center of His perfect will. But let's all make sure today that we're not attempting it in our own strength, but truly in the strength of the Lord.